"Why, it cannot be done," he cried. "Not even pirate ships, it seemed, could fly on such swift wings. There are favorable winds and chances for good luck on the Eastern Passage, but when your prow is turned toward home again, when you are obliged to go southward to get the trade winds which blow for all ships alike, then you will find that this is an ordinary ship, just like all the rest." "We will equal our record or better it," Humphrey replied obstinately, "although, as I admit, the westward voyage is a longer and a more difficult one. But the West Wind, sir, is a ship not like other ships." The dark visitor shrugged his shoulders, slipped one sleek hand within his satin robe, and laid a handful of gold coins upon the table. "A gift from my ruler to you," he said. "But what for?" Humphrey asked. "A mere token sent with the message that the ruler of Tripoli begs you to be a little blind if you should see a vessel of ours in pursuit of some French or British trading vessel. You Americans are so hasty and interfere so often in matters which do not concern you." "We drive no bargains to be paid for in stolen coin," returned Humphrey hotly. "Have you not learned once what America thinks of piracy?" "America is far away," the minister answered dryly. "News carries thither slowly, and as slowly comes back again. It is 20 years since your country fought mine. We believe that America is ceasing to watch us. The Atlantic is a broad and windy sea." "You do not know," the young officer replied slowly, "that there is a wise man in my country, my comrade and dear friend, who has learned how to make the Atlantic 1,000 miles less broad. He built this ship, with which we have shortened the voyage by 4 days, and will, when we set sail again, lessen it by more than that. Your pirate vessels are swift, but Yankee wits are swifter, and presently your vessels will bring back a tale, for every sea coast will ring it, that Jonathan Adams' ship, the West Wind, has crossed the ocean in 18 days."